This church. How's everybody doing today? It is really good to see you all. There are a lot of new faces here at Mason all the time, and so I feel like I want to give you a little overview of a couple things. And first of all, my name is Stephen. I'm lead pastor here, and we started Access Church in 2009. We moved into this building in 2011, and we rent this facility. In 2020, we merged with LifeBridge Church in Middletown, which happened to be led by my brother, and so we brought Access leadership and influence and philosophy, children's ministry, and more to that campus. And every other week, I'm here and there, and so Josh is a campus pastor here and is teaching every other week. Mark is a teaching pastor in Middletown, and he's there every other week. And so last week, we started a 506 worship in Middletown because up there, we only have one worship gathering in the morning, and a lot of the volunteers don't get a chance to go to worship, and so it's a real laid-back kind of a bit more of an unplugged kind of worship, and we started that last week. We had 50 people there at 5:06 on Sunday afternoon last week, and we're still looking for a few volunteers, so if you're considering, like, hey, I can help up there, you know, we would love for you to do that. Let me know if you can. I want you to know that we are closing on the loan tomorrow for Middletown, for the building up there, the worship center that we've been planning for quite a while. And so that loan is going to be closed on tomorrow. In terms of where we are as a church, attendance-wise, at Easter, we had 345 people at the two campuses. That's the most we've ever had at Access Church, even in the middle of, or at the end, I hope, of COVID. We had 6 baptisms on Easter at Middletown, 1 last week after 5:06. At Mason, we are seeing new faces every single week, every single Sunday. And that is so exciting, and we want to welcome you if you are new here, and also we have Starting Point tomorrow night, and want to encourage you to sign up. You can talk to our people at the Connection area later. If you want to go to Starting Point, it'll tell you all about our church. I lead that, give you a chance to really get connected and get started in this this journey we call Access Church. So it is just good to be here with you guys today, and I thought I would start today with a little intro, but also then let's just pray together. God, we're so thankful for what you're doing here, and God, we're thankful for what we're seeing here in Mason and in Middletown, and how we're seeing people come to Christ, and how we're seeing families change, and people get their focus right on you. And in the world of chaos right now, it's so good to be centered in you, to revolve our lives around Jesus. And so, God, we're just so thankful for that. God, would you just help us today to allow the Word of God to just really penetrate our heart today, God, and change us. We all need this message today, me in particular, and we just thank you for that. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I have a confession to make to you guys. We are going on this, every third Thursday, we have a men's group that meets right here in this room, and we're doing a video series, and the truth is, it's at 6 a.m., the truth is, I don't like it that much. And now, look, don't get me wrong. I mean, I like my core group of guys. I like the fact that we talk about the Lord together. I like getting into the Word of God. I just don't like that it's at 6 a.m. I mean, I'd have no problem getting up at 6, no problem getting up at 6:15. That's no issue. But there's just something ungodly about getting up at 5:20 in the morning and having to make it here, all right? I just don't like it. And I'm just being honest, being real with you. And the other thing that I don't like is I don't like getting convicted at 6 a.m. in the morning either. I mean, at least let me have a coffee and a protein bar before the Holy Spirit starts stepping into my world and convicting me. And so I'm not that great with that either. But we're actually watching these videos by Pastor Matt Chandler. And here's ultimately my real confession to you. This is the truth. This is not false humility. I have trouble discerning where the line is between trusting my own talents, my own effort, and my own work, and trusting and resting and relying on the work of God in my life. And that has been a challenge for me for my whole life. It is very difficult for me just to abide in the Lord. And so when Pastor Matt Chandler is on these videos at 6 a.m., and he's talking about Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. I'm going to allow his words to do what they did for me, and a little bit of conviction. I know this is a little long, but I think it's worthwhile. Here's what he said a couple months ago. Jesus is leading us into green pastures. I guess for most of us, when we think about pastures, that's what we think about. We think about green expanse. Yet the reality is that in Israel, there are two rainy seasons a year. And predominantly around these green pastures, it would be drought and it would be dry. The imagery that's being conjured up here is that where Jesus is leading you is out of drought, out of dreariness, out of exhaustion, and he's leading you into green pastures. There was a custom among shepherds that around noon, they would lead sheep into the pasture and simply let them rest. They would not move them. They would let them eat and drink, and they would rest from about noon until 4 or 3 in the afternoon when they would move them back into safe pen. So the invitation, he says, that Jesus is extending here is follow my voice, and I want to lead you to rest. And that imagery that God is trying to put into your mind and into your heart is one of stillness, of peace, where the weariness and anxiety of life gives way. You see, if you listen to the voice of your own internal compulsions, then you're never good enough. You're never finished. There's always something else to get done. You are constantly having to prove yourself, and there will be no rest there. If you are listening to voices of people who are demanding that you be more of this or less of that or stop that, then how could you ever rest? Our culture is incessantly changing what it looks like to succeed, what it looks like to win, what it looks like to be a man. And if you're here today in this session and internally you are just frenetic, there's a million things going on and you don't know how you're going to solve this one or get that one done or even get this one, get to this one, the invitation from the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd today, is that you would come in and rest, that you would let go, that you would trust him, that you would lie down and allow him to work. So the question, he said, I think you have to ask yourself is, are you trusting Christ? Are you trusting Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to work, to accomplish, and to do the things that right now feel impossible to you? Or have you taken on ownership of your own life and just decided, I will make this happen, I will control this, I will get that done? And the rest that you so desperately long for is not going to be found in vacation, it will not be found in a new Netflix series, it will not be found in a type of recreation. True rest, rest for the souls, is found when we listen to the Good Shepherd and he leads us to green pastures and living water. Dang it. Why has it got to be so convicting at 6 a.m.? Because I'm not good at that. And like I said, that's not false humility. That's true confession. I am still learning this one. And maybe I'll go my whole life and learn it. And that leads us right into this last I am statement of Jesus, which is in John chapter 15. You know, we've been reading through the I am statements of Jesus, and what we've said from the beginning is we don't want you just to know about Jesus like a mental exercise. We want you to personally know him. So when Josh last week talked about Jesus saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, nobody comes to the Father except through me, either you can just know that mentally or you can experience it personally. And so this is very real. It is very practical. Now, there's a background to what I'm about to read, and that is that Jesus is teaching. He's probably 24 hours away from being arrested at this point. He's seeing these things, knowing that it's not long before he's arrested and slaughtered, and he's there with his disciples. And these are some of his parting words. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me. Also, I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, there's imagery here that we miss because most of us aren't gardeners, and we certainly weren't there in the first century. But in the Old Testament, every time God talked about the vine, he was talking about his people and how they had rejected him. And so every time he said, you're the vine, what he meant to them was, you're the vine, but you've rejected God. The wrath of God is coming because you as his people, have rejected his message. And so when they heard that imagery, it immediately went to a negative thought, a wrathful thought. And that's why it's so powerful when Jesus says, let me flip this for you. You're not the vine, I'm the vine, you're the branches. In other words, you've messed this up, you've tried on your own, you have been unsuccessful. This is a gospel declaration where Jesus is saying, you haven't been fruitful on your own, that's okay. I'm the vine, you're the branches, remain in me. He is stepping into the mess that you and I are just as prone to do today as what they were in the first century, where we feel like we can't measure up, we feel like we don't want to let other people down, we feel like we are unable to just rest in the Lord. So what I want to do today is just give you four realities that I found in this scripture, four realities. These are realities for me. If they speak to you, I hope that they will today. Reality number one, no matter how hard we try on our own, we will always fall short. Now that's different than the message the world gives you, which is just dig deep enough. If you just look inside yourself enough, you will be able to figure it out. The Bible is very clear, John chapter 15, verse 4, no branch can bear fruit by itself. As much as you strive, as much as we work, as hard as we try to be moral or upright or do the right thing or not do the wrong thing, we're going to fall short of that over and over and over again. That is all of our life stories, right? Romans 3 says it this way, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law, meaning keeping all the requirements, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This idea of white-knuckled self-determination, I can do it on my own, that's not going to cut it, gang. You ever found that out to be true in your own life? I'm going to fight this temptation. I'm going to make sure I overcome this thing in my life. I'm going to do this. And what you find yourself doing is succeeding sometimes, failing other times, not being quite good enough. If I have a branch here, just imagine this branch, and there's a branch that wants to bear fruit, and as hard as it may try, as hard as it might muster up the will and the determination to bear fruit, if it is unconnected to the vine, unconnected to the source of life, it will always fall short. It will never, ever bear fruit. And I have lived that reality in my life far too often, where I want to do it on my own, I try to do it on my own, I'm going to make it happen on my own, I set this goal, I'm going to reach that milestone, I'm going to defeat that temptation, but so often I find myself not succeeding. Am I alone in this? Apparently not. Reality two. If you do not connect to Jesus, please follow me here, if you do not connect to Jesus, there is no hope for your eternity. Verse 5 says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. Now that is harsh. At least it seems harsh, doesn't it? I mean, thrown away, withers, thrown into the fire and burned. When it comes to a branch, this totally makes sense. If you've ever cut a branch off at your house or you've ever had one knocked off by a storm, then you know what happens. You have to pull that branch out. You have to throw that thing away. You have to burn it. Once it is gone from its source of nutrients and life, it will not survive. And so when we look at this from the perspective of a branch, it seems reasonable. When we look at it from the perspective of us, it seems harsh. But the reality is the same. If you are not connected to the vine, the source of life, the water of life, the bread of life, then you will not make it. You will be unfulfilled in this life. And more than that, you will be lost for eternity and you will be empty in this life. Just this week, I did a funeral of a guy in Carlisle. I did not know him. He was associated with somebody that knows me and they said, we need help. It was at it was not at a funeral home. It was at the Lions Club. There were long tables. The funeral home was not even there, the funeral directors. It was just me and the family. This is an interesting family. He was married to five different women over a period of time. He's living with another, is very fine man, I think, but just had made a lot of interesting choices in his life. His family sort of reflected that, and it was a very kind of a different experience. And I get in there, and I start to do the funeral. I'm like, would anybody like to say anything about him? And people start to talk about him, and then there are tears. After it was all over, a woman that I'm going to call Rhonda came up to me. She was wearing a hoodie. She had a dog with her. I've never had a dog at a funeral, but she had a dog at her funeral. And she was there. She was from that area. And she said, I don't know if you can answer this question for me, and I don't know if this is the right place, but can you help me with this? I feel empty, she said. I have faith. I just feel empty. I said, well, tell me about your faith. She said, well, I'm a witch. Really, they refer to me as a kitchen witch. I'm involved in herbs and ointments in my kitchen. And I grew up in a Pentecostal church, but I don't know if it was my church family or me, but I was not able to connect with God. I was like I was climbing up the stairs, but there was nothing at the landing. I believe in God, but this is my faith experience. And I said, well, I think, honestly, Rhonda, that sometimes the emptiness that we feel inside is there for a reason. And there's an old philosopher that said one time that there's a hole in every human heart that only God can fill. And maybe that emptiness is telling you something, that maybe the approach that you're taking is not getting you to the goal that you'd like to get to. And she said, I do believe in God. I believe there's something out there. I really, though, connect to nature. It's tangible for me. I believe that something created it. And I said, Rhonda, I think that's wonderful that you appreciate nature and you want to connect to God through nature. I said, do you have any children? She said, yeah, I've got four. I said, well, tell me about your youngest. What's your youngest name? She said, this is not her name, but she said, Annabelle. And I said, all right, Annabelle. Let's say Annabelle's in first grade and she makes a beautiful piece of pottery. And she brings it home to you, and she shows it to you. You say, oh, what would you think about it? She said, oh, I'd be so proud and so happy. And I said, well, let me just say, if you took that piece of pottery, went into your bedroom, ignored Annabelle, and you just admired the pottery, what would that do to Annabelle? She said, it would hurt her feelings. I said, that's right. I said, there's a verse in the Bible that says that there will be a day when people worship the created things rather than the creator. I said, it's awesome that God, you know, it is tangible to be able to say, I love creation, but remember that God created that. And she said, what church are you with? And I told her what we were doing there in Middletown because it was close. And she said, I'm thinking about going to a universal church where kind of everything goes. And I said, well, Rhonda, that may feel good. And that may feel like, hey, it's right because everybody's just accepting of everybody and all their beliefs. I said, there's like 25 people in here, though, today, Rhonda. And if all of these people today said that the ground, the grass is a different color, one says it's pink, one says it's blue, one says it's yellow, they can't all be right. And while that might feel good, I want to encourage you to think that there is a truth out there. And when you find that truth, Rhonda, I think it'll fill that emptiness that's inside. We exchange numbers and information about the church. But I love Rhonda's honesty. I love the realness of her questions. I'm empty. Can you help? And some of you today, you're empty. You feel the reality of being separated from the vine. Josh last week read that statement, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that statement is not meant to be rigid or harsh. It's meant as the only solution to a problem. Let's say today that you're in a burning building. You're on the fourth floor. It's crumbling around you. The staircase has fallen in. The only option you have is through an open window. And the fireman on the ladder says, come on out the window. Put your arms around me. Trust in me. This is the only way out. Would you argue with him? This is so intolerant of you. This is so exclusive. Or would you say, I think I'm going to take the only option that I've got. And I'm going to walk out of that window and I'm going to wrap my arms and I'm going to let him carry me out down that ladder to safety. Friends, what I'm saying is this, unless you are connected to the vine, you will have no hope for eternity and you will have an emptiness in this reality, in this life. Reality number three, Jesus prunes us to make us more fruitful. This is for those who are in Christ. But they are being fruitful, but Jesus is going to make you more fruitful, and it's found in verse 2. Every branch that does not bear fruit, or that does bear fruit, he prunes so it'll be even more fruitful. Jesus is saying, if you are in me, if you abide in me, expect some pruning. And we don't like that. At least I don't like that. We like to be prospered, not pruned. My papaw in North Carolina planted trees, all kinds of fruit trees. When we grew up in North Carolina, he had pear trees. He had a cherry tree right next to the swimming pool so that as soon as they started coming out, we were like getting out of the pool, grabbing some of those really tart cherries. We had to get them early or else the birds, we were going to be competing with them. He also planted apple trees, had all kinds of different apple trees, had Red Delicious, Granny Smith, Golden Delicious. I mean, a lot of apple trees. And when he was alive, he tended those apple trees. He got the bagworms out of the trees. He pruned the trees. And because of his care, there were loads and loads of apples. He had us go out and get the ripe fruit, and we would load them up in baskets. They made pink applesauce, sauteed apples, cinnamon apples. My mom was even known to give away apples to children at Halloween. We didn't get many trick-or-treaters. How many know what I'm talking about? But we were that family. Give them an apple. Now, I don't think that branches have feelings, but if they did, maybe they would tell us that it hurts to be pruned. Maybe they would say that it's a painful process for someone to take shears or loppers and cut off part of the branch. Maybe they would even say, you've never experienced that pain. But maybe they would also say that you have never seen so much fruit happen after the pruning process. It hurts to be pruned. And maybe God is allowing some pruning in your life today. Maybe some financial difficulties right now because he wants you to learn dependence on him. Maybe he's allowing some physical challenges, health challenges, because he wants you to know how weak that you are so that his strength can flow through you more perfectly. Maybe he's allowing some difficult relationship because he wants you to see the fruit of grace and patience bear forth in your life. So these difficult challenges are in reality an act of love by God as he prunes us. So we will be stronger and we will bear more fruit. Listen to these scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. In other words, this discipline is related to a harvest, much like a pruning is related to fruit. And he says that's going to bring out good things in your life. Or James chapter 1, verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And the only way that we're really going to have the strength God wants us to have, the only way we're going to bear the fruit that he wants us to bear, is by going through this pruning process. It is not easy, but we have to learn to accept God's pruning. Now, I think for a moment it would be helpful for us to kind of delve in for just a minute about what God means by fruit here. In verse 9 of John 15, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Then he says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I've loved you. And Jesus, in that passage, gives us two of the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy. And Paul goes a little further in Galatians 5, verse 23, and he describes even more. And he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Jesus said love and joy. Paul gives us a little bit fuller picture. But these are called the fruit of the Spirit. And sometimes people are like, wait a minute. That's not very good grammar, Paul. I don't remember a lot from grammar class, but I'm pretty sure we have multiple items listed here, so therefore we should be plural. I think it should be fruits. This is not good agreement, Paul. This is not good grammar. Or maybe that there is a reason that he calls these fruit instead of fruits. Why? Because you need all of them. You can't just be more joyful and less loving and say that you are growing in the fruit of the Spirit. You can't be more gentle but less self-controlled and think that you are bearing good fruit. The entire list are indicators of where you are in your relationship with God. And you just have to think about this and say, you know what? I'm pretty good on love, pretty good on joy, not very good on patience. So where is it in your life that God needs to do a little work, a little pruning? And he will. Reality 4. Fruitfulness is not determined by your effort, but by choosing to be connected to Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen, friends, success in your life is not determined by your effort, but by remaining connected to Jesus. That's the key to everything. Abide, remain. That word's used 11 times in this passage. It is the entire message today. Abide, remain. And if you're like me, we don't get very excited about that word because it's not an action verb. It's abide. It's like rest. I'd rather have like a 3-point message. You know, give me some action points. Suck it up. Stick it out. Start today. Let's go. Wouldn't that be more fun? Something like that. Jesus said, nope. Just abide. Just abide. You see, so much of our life is based on production. And when we think about our work life, it's like, hey, listen, if you work enough, you're going to get a promotion. If you score enough on the team, you're going to get more playing time. If you score high enough on that test, then you're going to make that program. Everything we think in our world is about production. That's how we tend to think of it. And we tend to also think in our Christian life that if we produce, then that will get us more connected to Jesus. If I produce more, then I will connect more. In other words, the more I do, the more successful I am, the more that I do for the Lord, the more connected I will feel to Jesus. But here's what I want you to remember, friends. Your job is not production. Your job is connection. That's it. Abide. In other words, let's say that you're a little branch out here. And your branch is now disconnected from the vine. You're disconnected from the vine. You're on your own. And I don't care how cute you are, how much you want it, how much you're thinking, fruit. Come on. Produce. Like if you just like, maybe if you think hard enough, a little apple will be like, you know, it'll pop out. And you'll be like, oh, this is exciting. No matter how much you think about production, unless you are connected, it ain't never going to happen. And this is the challenge for all of us. See, these analogies of Jesus are so powerful. Like a couple weeks ago, he's like, you're sheep. You're like, okay, that's not very appealing. I'm a sheep. Yeah, I'm a dumb sheep. Yeah. He's like, all you got to do is follow the voice of the shepherd. And I'll protect you. I'll guide you. I'll lead you. I'll care for you. I'll provide for you. I'll lead you to green pastures. You're like, what do I have to do? Just be a sheep. Just follow his voice. Yeah, but I don't like that. I want more production. Okay, fine. You don't like that analogy? You're a branch. I like a branch? Like a twig? Like a branch? I want to be the vine. Nope, that's not your job. Okay, well, fine. I want to produce then. Okay, fine. You can produce. But you have to be connected to the vine. But what do you say? Well, look, listen, I want to be a sheep. Okay, fine, I get that. But there are a whole lot of other voices out there that I want to follow. And so I just want to take for a little while, I'm just going to wander off and I want to follow those voices. And the shepherd says, good, go ahead. That's fine, follow them. But when you do, remember, there are consequences. You lose that protection, you lose that guidance, you lose that care. But you can do it if you want. Okay. And you say, well, wait, I'm a branch, but there are other trees out there. Maybe I can just separate with you for a while, and I'm going to go ahead, and I want to go over there because I want to connect to a different tree. And the vine just says, go ahead. If you want to do that, go ahead. But the path will lead to destruction. It's up to you. Will you choose to abide in me, or will you choose to go your own way? And that's the message from the world, which is go your own way, do your own thing, hear these other voices, be successful on your own, and all the while our good shepherd's just waiting. I just want to give you a word. Our vine is just saying, just stay connected. Stay connected. I started with saying it's a confession because I'm still in process here. In one sense, this is super relieving for me because it's like I don't have to produce. Like, you get to do that, and I just abide? That's kind of relieving. At the same time, I'm still in processing. God, I don't even know what that means totally. Abide, and you'll produce. We overcomplicate things. We bring about our own stress. Just remain. Just abide. Spend time with me. John 15, verse 7, If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you will bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so that's the message today. Just abide. Just remain. Just stay connected to the vine. That's your job. God, I have to confess today, from the very beginning, as I said, I'm not great at this. In fact, I'm pretty terrible at it. I'm still trying to discern what it means to work for you and have you do a work in me. God, maybe I'm not alone on that. And so thank you for your grace as I personally try to process that and try to think through what that means for my own life. And God, I pray for that for our entire congregation, our church, that's listening, that's taking this in, that we want fruit in our lives. I mean, we want success. We want good things. We want the fruit of love and patience and joy. We want those things. We want peace that passes understanding. God, we know that the call of God is, hey, take my yoke upon you. It's easy. It's the burden's light. Just connect to me. And so God, help us to do that. Help us to learn how to do that. Thank you for your grace in the times where we don't fully get it. Today, I'm talking to a group of people that some are super exhausted. They deal with anxiety, depression. They're faced constantly with images of other people around them. They compare themselves. How do I look? How do I present myself? How do I feel? Am I getting it done? Am I doing enough? All the while, the great shepherd says, just listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. The vine says, just stay connected. If you remain in me, just remain. You will bear much fruit. God, thank you for this lesson that we all need. We pray it in Jesus' name.